Well, everybody, we've just read Hebrews chapter 5, right through from about verse 5 right through to chapter 6, verse 6. And this evening we're going to look at meat and milk, some of those symptoms and consequences of those who mark time. Of those who don't go on to full perfection or full age. Now, this lesson, of course, is not designed as any criticism of anybody. We're not pointing the finger. We're very aware of our own shortcomings and failings. But it is a subject that I feel strongly about, that we need to know it. We need to be aware of this particular malady that can be found in us at some point, and certainly in other Christians as well, not so that we can condemn anybody, but we can assist them and encourage them to turn things around. Now, rather than start in Hebrews, we will be there, probably ending our lesson in those couple of chapters there, but I want to jump to kick off from another passage that's very familiar to us all, and this is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brothers, says the Apostle Paul, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Well, of course, for us, the power of God lies in the wonderful word of truth, the word of righteousness, and the word of truth, rightly divided, certainly unlocks the deep and wonderful treasures therein. And so, it's important for us to recognize that we don't want in our rooms to be preaching in the wisdom of men. We don't want to be engaged in some powerful and wonderful rhetoric. We want to present the scriptures in all their beauty and majesty, uplifting Christ and uplifting God and his purposes and plans for us all. Now, before we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and Hebrews, just let's jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to get a balance by comparing scripture with scripture. Verse 1 of chapter 3, and I, brothers, could not speak to you as to spiritual ones, but as to fleshly or carnal, as to babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with solid food, for you were not yet able to bear it, nor are you able even now, for you are yet carnal. For there is among you, or fleshly, as it was in the earlier chapter, for in that there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, are you not carnal or fleshly, and do you not walk according to men? Paul didn't want to preach in the wisdom of men, did he? And their walk was according to man. Now, we have here an explanation of verse 2, and I just want to come back to show you verse 2 of chapter 2, and we're not going to dwell here, but of course Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And of course, by comparing chapter 3, the reason he couldn't was because he couldn't go on to deeper and heavier things, because in fact they were indeed a divisive lot and were walking according to men. So when we look tonight at those who are on a constant diet of milk and keep themselves under the limitations of babyhood, we want to look in these verses at some of the symptoms and consequences of such a sad condition. You know, in 1 Timothy 2:15, we were told, weren't we, by the Apostle Paul, to be diligent to show ourselves approved unto God, work people that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this doesn't mean that every day we are to involve ourselves in hours upon hours of perspiring and exhausting Bible study. We must adopt our own policy and plan as to how we study the scriptures. I was talking to a young man of ours, a young friend of ours, just recently. You'll all remember he's a visitor to this room. And I said to him, you know, now that we have the principle of right division firmly understood by the grace of God, we are ready and willing to undertake a study of any particular subject that strikes our fancy, if you will. We're sort of not obliged to study all of Ephesians and Colossians and get them all tucked away. We can certainly go back and look at Isaiah or Jeremiah or Genesis. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, correct? And with the principle of right division in hand, we are able then to go out into those wide fields of scripture and find all those wonderful things about God, his purposes and plans, without automatically thinking that everything is about us. However, in the case of the Corinthians, as we have seen this evening, Apostle Paul was very, very clear to the Corinthians that they were not able to bear anything other than milk, which was, of course, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And as babes, or carnal or fleshly Christians who were on this diet of milk and were forced, had forced the very Apostle Paul to feed them the same diet, I'm certain he was desirous to speak the mystery of God to those who were wise and mature. The mystery of God in 1 Corinthians 2, of course, the Lord crucified and who it was. But their symptoms were, in fact, found in chapter 3, just a couple to look at. There were envyings and strife and divisions. Envying, strife, and divisions. Immature Christians on a diet of milk will have a lot of envy. Now, the word in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 3 for envy is the word heat. It's, in other places, translated as zeal. There can be good zeal or envy, if you will. Zeal for God, enthusiasm is wonderful. But here, of course, the envy is into jealousy and division. Divisions, of course, are not that which we ought to aspire. Divisions are not profitable. Indeed, in Romans 16, the Apostle Paul speaks about divisions and those who cause them, and he says, I exhort you, brothers, to watch those making divisions and offences contrary to the other doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. It's one thing for us to love every Christian in Christ, isn't it? It's one thing to embrace every Christian. But do you know, the Apostle Paul says not only in Romans, but he writes to Timothy about avoiding some and turning away from some. Right division, and as we grow in understanding of the word, gives us a great passion for our fellow believers. On the other hand, we must not ignore the fact that we also have to turn away or avoid some. Coming back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there was strife accompanied with jealousy and division. And I think we've looked at this word strife before too, haven't we? Strife means quarrels and wrangling and arguments. And divisions not only of a logistical nature or a physical nature, but also divisions in points of view and perspectives. These are, in fact, the symptoms of Christians in a state of immaturity. Now, we know that it's very, very profitable to come together and to consider the word of truth. It's very, very profitable to come together and discuss passages of Scripture, but in a quiet, calm, and productive way. Conceding and giving a space for each to have their perspective, but ultimately for everybody to examine the point of view of the group through the rightly divided word of truth. For finally, and with great assurance, we can agree that our doctrine must be based on the rightly divided word of truth. And when we look at the wider Christian community, I think we can all agree that the divisions and the strifes and the arguings, the quarrels and the wranglings, are from scriptures that are not rightly divided. And not only so, but they are more often than not on many of the basic issues that we shall see when we come to Hebrews chapter 6. So we've got to avoid or watch for those causing divisions. And in this context, you'll find that a lot of the divisions and quarrels and wrangling and disagreements come from Christians who are, by the word, not by me and your opinion, but are by the word in a state of immaturity and are fed on a constant diet of milk, i.e. the basic and first and elemental principles of the word of truth. In Hebrews, which we have read, there's more that is added and that is important for us in this examination. In verse 11, Paul, well, we believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but so I'll just be happy to ascribe authorship to him. Paul, speaking about Christ and being a priest after the order of Melchizedek, notice here he's wanting to talk more about the priesthood of Christ. Back in Corinthians, he could only talk about the crucifixion of Christ, you see. And in the matter of this priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek, he says in verse 11, of whom we have much to say and hard to be explained, since you are dull of hearing. Now, this group of recipients, the Hebrews to whom Paul was writing here, were indeed those who were partaking of milk, and they also were babes. And it's interesting to note that Paul, in his desire, wanted to say much about this particular subject, but he couldn't. Why? Because it was hard to be explained, not because the subject was difficult, but because his readers were dull of hearing. Those on a diet of milk have ears that don't hear too well. And you and I know this. We've experienced it, haven't we? There are so many occasions when we've tried to point out just briefly or as simply as we can a little about right division. But it seems to our listeners that it's so complex and it's so hard and we're really making the Bible more difficult than it ought to be. When in fact, we're trying to talk about something really simple. And the problem it's good to know. It may well be not that we don't have the polish, professionalism, or intellect to present the subject in such a way as can be understood, but that, in fact, we're trying to talk to those who can only take a diet of milk. A diet of milk. Those that maintain a diet of milk, what are they? They're babes. They are jealousies and heat and envies. There are divisions and quarrels and arguments, and we could put in inverted commas, constant theological debate. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, the servant of the Lord must not strive. He must not argue. He must not constantly be bringing up such subjects in such a way as to create argument, debate. He simply must teach and teach the word. Now then, interesting to note then in this verse that the subjects themselves were not difficult, but those on a diet of milk can't hear, and it's difficult therefore to explain. Verse 12, For indeed, because of the time. Now remember, in 1 Corinthians, what did Paul say? Oh, dear, oh, dear, I've missed my verse. Give me a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said in verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with solid food. For you were not yet able to bear it, nor are you able even now. You see, it's not a case of just a fact that at some particular point the Corinthians were unable to take meat. It was in the past they needed milk, and when Paul wrote the letter, they needed milk. There had been no progress. And exactly the same, I want you to notice this tonight, exactly the same in Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 12, for indeed, because of the time, you ought to be teachers. Paul is saying to them, writing to them, how much time have you had? You ought to be teaching others. The Corinthians had milk in the beginning and had milk when he wrote to them. Feeding Christians a constant diet of milk stifles growth. It state puts them into a condition which we in the army and any that were in the services call marking time. And in the matter of spiritual maturity and development, there is no such thing. For indeed, because of the time, you ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again what are the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have become in need of milk and not in solid food. Here is a reversal. The Corinthians never got off the diet of milk. The Hebrews had lapsed back from taking the solid stuff and were now, instead of being in a capacity or in a state to teach others, we're back to being students yet again. And not students of the deep things of the word, but students of the first principles of the oracles of God. They needed to be taught again. Do you see? Teach you again. Oh, by the way, for those American listeners in this audience, just out of interest, the word for again in Greek is the word palin. And I think there's a politician called Palin. And I think, is that correct? Was that the correct spelling? But she has assured us she's not running again. So I thought that was funny if, in fact, I got her spelling correct. Now here, Paul is talking about the first principles of the oracles of God. the first principles are the foundations of doctrine. Going back to the foundations. Remember in 1 Corinthians, the foundations of doctrine is Christ Jesus and him crucified. What he wanted to talk to the Hebrews about was his priesthood. He wanted to go on and teach greater and deeper things, but it was not possible. First principles, the foundations. And you know, friends, the foundations have to be sure. The first principles and that which is laid down of the Word or Logos of God has to be solid. Because if we don't have that right, the building on top of the foundations is certainly going to be dodgy, as we would say in Australia, or shaky, and certainly insecure. So what had happened here in the case of the Hebrews, there had been some progress. They were now in need of the milk again, the first principles. And it was necessary to teach them that. They needed it. Now, in verse 13, for everyone partaking of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. The word here for partaking, the King James says uses, is a word that means to share in or to participate in. And I want to bring out a thought here, which may well be applicable. Everyone partaking of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Remember, the milk is the first principles, the very, very basics of the word of truth. And back in Corinthians, we'll notice that the milk that Paul taught was Christ crucified. I have said on many an occasion that if we attend a church where all they're preaching is Christ crucified, then the congregation is being fed a diet of milk. And tonight I want to show just how serious, how incredibly bad that policy is. And it's somewhat cyclic, because when a Christian community is in a state of infancy and constantly needing milk, we're going to find that their capacity to take meat is diminished exponentially. But in verse 13, for everyone partaking of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. And I think the word partaking might have a word of warning for us. The word partaking means to share in or to participate in. And there comes a point, I know, speaking from my experience anyway, where I became not weary of, but I became wary of constantly engaging in discussions and arguments and theological debate about the elements or the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, it's one thing to be teaching them to those who are willing and ready and in need of them. It may not be profitable for you and I, it may not be profitable for you and I to participate in them. For everyone participating of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. I do believe that when Paul says, for indeed of the time we ought to be teachers, there comes a point in all of us when in through the maturing of the word, we do have a capacity to teach others. And to teach others does not mean to be constantly engaged in the milk divisions and arguments that abound. And if you want to find any, all you've got to do is jump into Pal Talk and go into any of the rooms there. Verse 14, but before I leave it, I must point out in verse 13, those who are kept on a diet of milk are unskillful in the word of righteousness. Now, why do you think there's constant arguing and divisions? Why do you think there's constant jealousy and fear of anyone in a different shaped denomination with a different shaped stained glass window? And why are all these divisions? Because there's immaturity in the word of righteousness. Now, we can't change the Christian world, and there's no criticism implied. We're talking about ourselves tonight. It's our job to learn and to grow and to hunger for the meat. And in hungering for the deeper things of the word, we are not perhaps going to be immediately blessed with an understanding of everything, but we want to go on, don't we? Now, where is verse 14? Solid food belongs to those who are of a full age. A full age. That word there is perfect or mature, teleos. Even those who, because of use, have their senses exercised to discern. I tell you what, friends, discernment ought to remind us of Philippians 1, 9 and 10, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and discernment. In order that, Paul says to the Philippians, you can distinguish between things that differ. And look at Hebrews 5:14. Discern between good and evil. A capacity to divide what is good and what is bad. Babies on a constant diet of milk do not have this capacity to discern what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. Thank you. Yes, they do not have a capacity from discerning. They do not have a capacity then to rightly divide. Yep, all of those things are applicable here. And so, as a right divider, again, when we're out in the wider Christian world and we're not to show forth the word of truth, we have to be instant in season and out of season, don't we? But we need to be armed with this information and to be aware that we, as we try to show right division, are not the problem. Sometimes you say, you know, I thought I explained that pretty well. But they're dull of hearing, babies. Those on milk diets find simple subjects difficult to understand. They do not have a capacity to discern between that which is good and evil. And of course, for those of you who would like to look at this chapter in Stuart Allen and Mr. Welsh's book on perfection or perdition, we'll find that they have a reference back to the Garden of Eden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Solid food belongs to those who are mature, who are of full age. Now, mature or full age, of course, I find it in Ephesians 4, and I just want to go here and have a look without getting involved in any of the doctrine here or getting sidetracked into Ephesians, despite the fact that some would like us to do more on the post-Acts letters, which we will do. See, I do see the comments in the room. And this until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. A full-grown man. The word full-grown there is mature. The word perfect, the very word full age in Hebrews 5:14. See unity of the faith? Do you think, oh no, it's never possible. The Christian community could never have a unity of the faith. Well, I tell you what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians? No, there are always going to be arguments and divisions and jealousies. and contradictions of doctrines and theological debate while the Christian community is in a status of babyhood. But maturity, here's the word perfect in Ephesians 4:13, and there is a unity of faith possible. You see? Unity, perfection, and fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ, not his crucifixion and the basics of Christ. Isn't it wonderful how the Word of God is in such harmony, even in cross context and different dispensational settings? Back to, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6. Remember, no chapter break. So in chapter 5, those that are dull of hearing and things are very, very difficult to be understood, when really they're not difficult at all, strong meat belonging those that are of a full age. Hebrews 6:1, therefore says the Apostle Paul, having left the discourse of the beginning of Christ, let us go on to full growth. Full grown man in Ephesians 4. Maturity. Not laying again the foundation of. Not laying again the first principles. Having left the discourse of the beginning of Christ. In England, at the Chapel of the Open Book, they have a Foundation Day meeting once a year where they go over the four basic tenets. They review them once a year. Now, other times during the year they might visit them. But it's a wonderful philosophy, really. It stops us from going over the basics all the time. Because going over the basics all the time is not profitable for those who hear it. I've got to tackle things as a teacher, which are difficult, and were difficult for many of you. I remember one person in the room here testified that at the first time coming in, things were very confusing and upside down and back to front. In fact, she decided to leave, but kept coming back. And that's what happens. We have to say things that others might find difficult. We're not to cease, but we're not to give them a diet of the basics and the elementals, are we? Therefore, Hebrews 6:1, having left the discourse of the beginning of Christ, let us go on to full growth, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Not laying again. Let us go on. Part of being mature, an adult, is pushing onwards, wanting to know more, having a hunger for God and his word. Maturity, full age, and pressing on reminds me of Philippians chapter 3. I bet you remembered it too. Paul, jumping again into a middle of a context, says in verse 13 of Philippians chapter 3, my brothers, I do not count myself to have taken possession. But one thing I do, forgetting the things behind, well, in this case, he wasn't forgetting the first principles and the foundations. He was forgetting the things that were of no value to him in his past life. And reaching forward to the things before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Again, we're not going to get sidetracked in what the prize is and so forth and so on. We want to point out that let us go on is a great theme in Paul. Let us move away from the elements and the basics. Let's tackle the heavy stuff. Let's look at passages that we don't understand. Let's rightly divide. Let's put it out on the table and want to know and grow more. But you have met, haven't you, some Christians that want to say, no, all I want to hear is Christ Jesus and him crucified. I'm content with that. I need no more. I'm resting on the cross. Well, you know, friends, much and all, as we understand what they're saying, they don't understand what they're saying, and they're clinging to babyhood and immaturity in the spiritual realm. So do you see going on and not laying again has within it a very, very beneficial potentiality? Not laying the foundations and building and finding deeper truths in the Word, the meat of the Word, is identified with a prize. Isn't it a glorious thing tonight to know that we have eternal life in Christ and His finished work? Isn't it a glorious thing to know that in Christ crucified, there's the creation of the one new man? Isn't it glorious to know in Christ crucified that we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins? But isn't it glorious to know that there's an inheritance for you and me as members of the church, which is His body? And now, isn't it something that inspires you to know, to grow and to go on, that there is a prize? How gracious is God? Anyone going to limit God? You won't catch God in anything. He said, I've given you all those things. Now I'm going to offer you a prize. He's saying to you, now this might be a bit earthy and crude, but I tell you what He's dangling in front of you and me tonight. There's this juicy carrot. He says, come on you horses. I didn't say donkeys because I didn't want to offend me or you. But you see, He said, look, I've got this carrot. I'm going to give you a prize. I want you to go on. I want you to take the meat. I want you to grow and understand. There's a prize. Now, what was it in Hebrews 5 that those who were babes had difficulty with? They could not understand. The subjects became complicated, remember? Hard to be understood. But those, and the Philippians were Paul's long for his joy and his crown. Let us many, as therefore as many as are perfect, Philippians 3:15, be of this mind. It's a mind of maturity that wants to go on and press forward. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, oh, Paul concedes that there will be differences of mind. But what does he say to the Philippians? God shall reveal even this to you. Do you know, my dear friends tonight, my beloved friends, that by wanting to grow and go, there is a, I'm not saying a promise, but there's a word from God in His Word which says He will reveal. A baby finds things difficult to be understood because they're dull of hearing. Those that go on, God shall reveal. Oh, God shall reveal. Now, while we are in Philippians 3, let's just grab a little verse here in verse 18. Paul says, brothers, in verse 17, be imitators together of me and mark those who walk this way, i.e. pressing onwards, not walking with the milk, walking with the meat. See, we have to rightly divide walkers. We have to rightly divide the Christian community. The one that's walking in milk and doesn't want to go anywhere else, and the one who wants to walk on and press on. They're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and whose mind are those who mind earthly things. Are you now not carnal, says Paul to the Corinthians, and walk as men? Oh, yes. This is not a light subject, is it? I'm trying to present this subject as meekly as I can, being aware of my own failings. But we need to know these things. And I thought maybe tonight was a good opportunity for a timely reminder and an inspiration and an encouragement to you. Never give up. Never give up. Keep pressing on like the Apostle Paul. He was quite old when he wrote Philippians, and he was still pressing on. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, having left the discourse of the beginning of Christ, let us go on to full growth. Meet those capable of discerning between good and evil. not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. If you wanted to think of a verse in the scripture that spoke about repentance and faith toward God, you'd nearly think of John 3:16, wouldn't you? Bashed around the world by practically every Christian community. And essential for those who are not Christians. But certainly we're not going to preach that twice on Sunday, are we? Because that's laying the foundation. Laying the foundation, which we don't want to do. The first principles. Now the word repentance, look at the next verse, Hebrews 6:2, of baptisms. You know, friends, we study about the one baptism of Ephesians chapter 4. We're pretty well confident of what it is. I think most of us in this room would be confident of the work of the Holy Spirit identifying us and uniting us with Christ. That's the one baptism that is ours in our calling today. But we know about other baptisms, don't we? And if you wanted a word that would create division and that would create debate and would create a whole heap of argument in a theological group, I tell you what, in a group of Christians, I bet it's baptisms. Of doctrine and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead. Do you see, these are the fundamentals. These are the elemental principles. The discourse of the beginning of Christ. We've left them. We have not rejected them. We haven't put them aside. But we're going on to full growth. And going on to full growth does not mean a repetitive teaching of milk. Why? What does it do? Dulls the hearing. And you and I don't want to be dull of hearing. And this can happen at any point. Look at the Hebrews. They were of need of milk again. They'd gone on, but had turned back. And you're going to find that in chapter 6. In just a few verses. We're going to find the serious consequence of not pushing on. Oh, eternal judgment. Wow. Now there's a good one. Do you believe in hell? Half the time, or more than half the time, you tell someone you're a Christian, they'll want to know if you believe in hell. Won't take long for them to ask, will it? And you don't want to be impolite and say which hell are you talking about, because as soon as they ask, you know where they're coming from. And we need to just be aware and to be delicate and meek and like the Apostle Paul, speak to them and reach them where they're at. And this we will do if God permits. Paul's not saying that we're going to lay again the foundation. We're going to go on to perfection if God permits. We're going to go on to full growth. Why does he put in God permits? Why is it in a context of milk and babes and meat and mature ones he talks about God's permission? Now we're getting to the point of looking at the very, very serious consequence of maintaining a diet of milk. Verse 4. Now we've got to be careful dispensationally here. Right, this was written in the Acts period, but nevertheless, there's a principle. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and word more partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, and who have fallen away. And who have fallen away. The word for fallen away here is the word parapipto, and it means to apostatize. Apostatize. You know, I wonder if, in fact, a constant diet of milk a constant diet of milk will ultimately bring away the reverse of going on. I wonder if a constant diet of milk will bring a reversal of digestive ability in the spiritual realm. Something for us to consider. Aren't you thrilled and pleased tonight that by the Spirit of God and by your hunger and desire that you've gone forward in the word of truth? And don't we want other Christians to go forward in the same way? We're never to be weary of preaching right division. If God dangles a carrot in front of us and says, there's a prize, Brian, never forget, there's a prize. I want you to go on. I want you to keep growing. I want you to keep teaching. With that in mind, we certainly can use the same techniques on our fellow Christian who we can see very quickly are on a diet of milk. We can certainly put something in front of them to appeal, to inspire, to motivate them who have fallen away. Now I want to sum up, because here we have a very, very sad and terrible consequence, haven't we, of those who are on a constant diet of milk because they're dull of hearing and they can't learn the word. Subjects become very, very difficult to understand and to explain. So, those who are babes and on a diet of milk, they're unable to bear the deeper things of the word. And it's a chronic condition. It will not change till they get off their diet of milk. Will not change. There's envy, there's arguments, and there's divisions, and they walk as men with God as their belly. In Hebrews 5, we have found that they're dull of hearing. Their spiritual perception and discernment is practically non-existent. They're dull of hearing because they're lazy. I meant to point out that the word dull of hearing means laziness. And instead of being teachers, they're students forever. Students forever. Oh my goodness. Now that's going to remind somebody of a verse of scripture, isn't it? And I have to go back to 2 Timothy again. 2 Timothy. You know, right division in chapter 2, verse 15, speaks about those who are approved. Now, in the latter days, Paul speaks of those who are ever learning, but never able to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Do you see it? Never able to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. Students forever. The Hebrews ought to be teachers, but they're gone back to needing to be a student again. Well, we're all students, you can say. Oh, yes, we're all students. But there comes a point when we're able to teach somebody, for sure. We're talking about those who never teach, want to argue, want to divide, want to discuss, and never ever come to an acknowledgement of the truth. And the acknowledgement of the truth, as you know, is key to the principle of right division. But as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so these also resist the truth. Why do they resist it? Because they're dull of hearing, they're lazy. It's hard and difficult to be understood. I can't stand it. People of corrupt mind, reprobate, unapproved concerning the faith. Unapproved. And guess what? But they shall proceed no further. Isn't it been a principle tonight, as we've looked in meat and milk, that those on milk proceed no further? Ever learning, proceed no further. More divisions, more arguments, racing off somewhere else. Looking at something new, finding something different, not established, not growing. I don't want to get to heaven, friends, and say that I can recite more of the Bible than anybody else. I want to understand my calling. Don't you? I want to be able to teach the calling that God has given me today. I want to be able to teach that and to share that with my fellow believers. And I tell you what, friends, I won't do that out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's where we read of Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Only by right division, reading the letters of the one Christ sent to us, do we know about the meat of the word and the calling today. Praise God, we know it. Let us be careful with this treasure as we share it to others who may be dull of hearing and find it very, very difficult. In Hebrews 5, we saw the very same thing in Hebrews 5. They cannot go on. They can't go forward. So, it's a chronic condition because of the time. A chronic condition because of the time. Constant state of babyhood. Cannot go on to perfection, cannot go on to maturity. And finally, we saw in Hebrews 6, this may well be a very, very sad consequence. You see, milk ultimately will have disastrous effects on a baby. Milk will have a disastrous effect on a baby. Peter wrote to those under his care and said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Do you see? Grow. Milk was designed for babies to grow. There's got to be some work on part of the child. There's got to be a crawl. There's got to be a walk. There's got to be the big black bruise on the forehead. The tooth banged. You know, remember it all? Those of you who had children, remember what it was like? The milk gave them strength and they grew. Their bodies were exercised. They began to discern. Mother gave them a crust to eat. Then they had a piece of bread with honey or whatever. I don't know. I better don't follow my advice. But you see, it was a progression, wasn't it? Milk, a constant milk of... No. No going on. No growing forward. No maturity. And in fact, perhaps a sad consequence is that terrible falling away. And why do we say, if God permits, Hebrews 6:3, Paul says, oh, we will go on. We won't lay a foundation. We will go on if God permits. Because, friends, when it gets to the condition of a Christian who has been fattened, well, I shouldn't use the word fattened, but has been incapacitated with a diet of milk, you and I, and any other zealous teacher of the word, can't turn the condition around. We can do our best and we can try, but there comes a point when it's up to God. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all, apt to teach, and very patient. In meekness, instructing those who oppose. Notice it's instructing those who oppose. It's not preaching the gospel to the unregenerate. It's in meekness, instructing those who oppose. Babies oppose. Babies don't want meat. Babies want their constant comfort diet of milk. They're on a regression, not a progression, and they oppose. Those who ever learn and never come to the knowledge of the truth, he said in the very next chapter, remember, they are reprobate and they proceed no further. Those who oppose withstand the truth, he says in chapter 3. But it's if perhaps God, in the instruction and in the meekness of instruction, if God will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. and that they may awake out of the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him, so as to do the will of that one. You know, friends, a diet of milk is not only detrimental, it's dangerous. And you and I must be constantly aware of the symptoms of those on a diet of milk, the dangers for those that are on a diet of milk, and we must be ready in meekness at all times to instruct, to the best of our ability. Everyone in this Pal Talk room tonight has a capacity to teach, and praise God for that. In meekness, don't strive, be gentle. Teach, be patient. Meekly instruct. For the babes and the milk diet specialists oppose. But if God permits, if perchance, he will grant them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and they can then begin to grow and go on to full age, maturity. And there's a prize in all of that. So we don't only want the prize, we certainly want to help our fellow believers to get out of that sad condition and to go on and to look for that prize as well. May the Lord help each and every one of us as we share the word of truth rightly divided in the opportunities he brings our way. Thank you, Father, for tonight, for the sharing, for the blessing of the word. And we thank you, Father, for your kindness to each and every one of us in taking us forward. We rejoice in the foundations and the basic principles. We also rejoice, Father, in the deep things you've given us, and we seek more, and we, like Paul, want to press according to the mark for the prize of the high calling. We thus bless you and praise you through Christ our Lord for all things. Amen.